Praise be to God. Let's go to our favorite Bible verse, continues to be our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this season, for the birth of Jesus that we're celebrating this time. Thanks be to God because He sees things that haven't happened yet. He's made preparation for things that we don't understand yet, but thanks be to God, He knows what He has planned. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. It says, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, I want to just point that out. The angel said, you shall call his, a child will be born to you, and you shall call his name Jesus, which is God saves. Get into that more in a little bit. But this was because the angel said to name him this. It wasn't that Mary just picked this name. Jesus was not an uncommon name in Israel because a lot of people were saying, I hope my son's the deliverer. I hope he can come out of this. So it's not an uncommon name. But the angel told her to name him Jesus. It wasn't just I think it'd be a cool name for a kid. You know, God told him to name this. Now, verse 22, it says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Excuse me. To go back to Luke 1:38, Mary said, let it be done to me according to your word, according to your rhema. We looked at that last week. According to your revealed knowledge, let that revealed word become real or manifest in my life. You know, the prophetic word was important to Mary. She treasured it. She studied it. She looked at it. She spent time with it. Her reception of the angel's prophetic word caused her to conceive. See, we've talked about prophecy watchers. We've talked about these people that are paying attention to the scripture. Well, the prophetic word was very important to Mary. The angel brought her a prophetic word. She names Jesus after the prophetic word. And now she continues to walk in the part of Luke that we picked up in. She continues to walk in the prophetic word of the scripture. We don't usually think of scripture as being prophetic. Religiously, we see it as being historical. We see scripture as a past event. You know, we read the Old Testament, we say, well, what does this have to do with me? That was thousands of years ago. There's people that look at the New Testament and say, well, that was a story 2,000 years ago. Why is that significant to me today? And because we tend to look at it historical, we don't get the prophecy in it. We consider it often to be irrelevant to our life, to what's going on in our world. We don't pay attention to it. But scriptural history is prophetic as it sees God in history. This is what is so unique about the Bible. The Bible is not about man's search for God, but about God's search for man. It starts out in the garden. Adam, where are you? Why have you hidden yourself from me? And then God, listen, even in the garden, God made the sacrifice to cover up Adam's sin. Now see, well, that's just a myth. No, it's a type. Scripture is prophetic. It's a type. If the Father is going to cover up Adam's sin, it's a type of a future sacrifice that is going to be made, because even God said in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And the covering up of Adam's sin was the shedding of blood of an animal. But that's a type of the shedding of blood of the Christ for us to forgive us and cleanse us of all sins. See, it's prophetic in its nature. You say, well, that's just an old wives' tale. No, it's a prophetic tale. And if you throw out the prophecy of it, you miss what one of the major implications of the Bible is, that God forgives sins through sacrifice. And if you understand that, you can understand there had to be a Messiah. There had to be God in the flesh. There had to be this perfect sacrifice. Animals and bulls and goats could not cover for our sin. It could not make the right atonement, but only God can. And it must be a perfect, spotless sacrifice that's offered. And we could never find that in the world when it's fallen and it's lost that pure essence that God created us in. History becomes a type, an example, or a prediction of coming events, a prediction of what's going to happen in the future. Even secular historians see history repeating itself. They tell us if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. Well, that's true. Because if you don't learn, you keep going through the same cycle over and over and over, and I know some of us feel like our lives is just the same cycle over and over and over, and it's because you haven't learned from Scripture. Is that polite? If you see, God shows you a way to get out of your problem, so you don't have to keep recycling it all the time. He's the answer to our prayers, hallelujah. He's the one who has come to set us free from this cycle of sin and death because he interjected life, forgiveness and life into the system. God shows us in this cyclical history, God shows us the way, the path of deliverance from endless repetition. You see that in the Kings. I got a great revelation years ago reading the Begats. How many of you love to read the Begats? You know, this person begat that person, begat that person. It's not your favorite thing. And I'm reading that one day, and I'm going through the Begats. God, why do you have the Begats in here? He says, because the devil wants to extinguish human life in the earth because we're created in the image of God. Every begat means that life has overcome death. You can get healed reading the Begats. Instead of getting bored with it, devil tried to kill him. Oh, life continued. He begat, and he begat, and he begat. And life is stronger than death. Amen? God is stronger than the devil. Amen? See, and that's what you get out of the Begats. If you read it, if you let God speak to you and reveal you some stuff, you can get healed reading the Begats. I get so excited when I think about that. It's just really cool. Well, Mary took the appearance of an angel as a prophetic sign, as a word of what was to come. See, the angel said, you're going to have a child, and you're going to call him named Jesus. And she could have said, there's no way. You know, but he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. She said, okay, according to your word, according to what you've just revealed to me. Well, you don't get revelation just by hearing it one time. You get revelation because you believe in God. When you believe in God, when God speaks to you, it's revelation. It reveals things that you hadn't thought about before. I'd really be surprised if Mary was thinking, boy, I could be the virgin mother, and I could carry the Christ child, and wow, this would be really cool if that would happen. I doubt if she's really thinking that way, but she is believing God. That's why God chose her. She was already in faith. So when the angel appeared, it's like, whoa, what is this? Well, Mary, you're going to conceive. Okay, you're going to call this child by the name of Jesus. Okay, how's this going to be to pass? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Okay, she was already believing. This wasn't a brand new thing. You know, for some of us, we have got to have God speak a brand new thing to us so we can believe. God, show me something new. We asked a question last week, how many miracles do you need to see before you believe that God heals? You know, see, faith doesn't come by seeing miracles. Faith comes by hearing the word preached. Oh my, there's a revelation in that if you think about it. But we want to see signs. We want to see wonders. Well, you can see all that you want, but if you don't believe, you're not going to see anything for you. And it's amazing how quickly faith can stir how faith can come up. But if you look at it, it's usually been a process. People have been believing for a while. They've been standing for a while. And the miracle seems like, well, that just happened in a half a second. Well, yeah, duh, but the believing was for a year. The believing was getting your heart right. The believing came, Lord, I believe you. I believe this is your will. I believe you can do it for me. And when you begin to do that, you open the door for God to come and move in your life. Just like fear and doubt open the door for the devil to move in your life. But if you reverse that, have faith in God, woo, all kinds of good things can happen. Amen. So Mary acted on what she heard. She named her child Jesus according to the angel. Jesus is the Greek word for the Hebrew Joshua, which is actually Yehoshua, which literally means Yahweh is salvation. God saves. That's what it means, Yeshua. So here we come. She obeyed the law of Moses, having Yeshua, Yehoshua. I want to try to get this right. I keep saying Yeshua, but I understand the proper pronunciation is Yehoshua. So he was circumcised on the eighth day. Well, why the eighth day? Because that's when God said to circumcise the kid. 40 days, she brought him to the temple. Why? Because the law of Moses said in 40 days after the mother is purified and goes through the purification cycle, this is the law of Moses. He says, after 40 days, bring the child to the temple and have him dedicated. So she brought him to the temple on the fourth day to have him dedicated. Why? Because the Bible is prophetic. And she was walking in the prophetic word. So, well, God didn't tell her you on the eighth day to circumcise. God didn't tell her, well, on the fourth day, bring him to the temple. No, but in the word, it said to do this. And if this is the Son of God, then she is obligated to see this thing through to the greatest detail she can, to the best of her understanding. So the eighth day was the circumcision. 40th day, they brought him to temple. Why? Because it's in the word. This is just what you do as a child. Now, here in verse 24, Luke 2:24, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This dedication was special. Now, she knew it was special anyway, but this was a special, special dedication. And part of it was that this every male child was to be set aside to be called holy to the Lord. Now, a lot of times we go through a series of dedications. Have you ever done that? Lord, I dedicate my life to you. Lord, I dedicate my life to you. I dedicate this, I dedicate that. See, we promise ourselves we're going to do better this year than last year. That's a dedication, isn't it? And then after we go through the dedication, we go through rededications. Because the first one didn't take. We go through constant dedications and rededications. We go over it and over and over. Lord, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through this year in Jesus' name. I promise you, God, I'm going to do this. Oh, God, I'm going to be faithful in church. I know you all want to make that commitment.
Amen.
I got a couple out of that. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be a believer. See, we all make dedications, and we do it with a right heart. I'm not trying to make fun of us, but we usually don't follow through on our dedication to the degree that we think we ought to. And part of that is with Mary, she understood that this child was not her child. This is not a natural child. So when she dedicated, she already knew this child doesn't belong to me. So she, in the dedication, is giving him up to the Lord. She's just a caretaker. She's just the person helping out on this, but she is dedicated by giving him over to the Lord, holy to the Lord, she called this child. In Matthew chapter 5, I better read this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, he says, Jesus is preaching, and he says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, nor for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You know, one of the things when people start swearing and making dedications, they think if they swear by this and by that, they'll follow through on it better. We just keep promising ourselves, Lord, you can have my firstborn. I promise to do this. If I don't, no, God, I don't really mean that. I don't, because we know we're not going to keep it. He says, that's why we go into things. I swear by the lights of heaven. I swear by the sands of the sea. I swear by all these things. You know, it's like, because we're trying to really impress ourselves that we're serious. You know, we really do mean this. And in our heart, we do, but we try to make a, it's like the more things you swear on, we think it'll be, help us out a little bit. Has anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. You know, we want to do the right thing. But in 30, I think we're down to 36, for nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now, this isn't really that confusing, but we try to make this dedication, and our problem is it's a one-time act. And sometimes we think if we make a dedication, well, that just takes care of it, right? And everything else would just naturally follow and be easy. But Mary was giving Jesus over to the Father. She was surrendering him to the Father. She dedicated him or sanctified him, set him apart for service. In the same way, dedication is not a thing you do in church. It's not a moment in your life. It's a lifetime experience. Therefore, let your yes be yes. Say yes to God. Say no to all the distractions. And you'll find yourself, as you get into more distractions, it'll be easier to say no. I should say it a little different. When you get into where you say yes to God more frequently, it'll be easier to say no to the distractions. Because while you're saying yes, see, this is a moment-by-moment way of living. It's like we want to go to church and, Lord, I give you my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come in and make your life real, become real in my life. And we're serious about it. And we go out and say, well, I don't feel any different. So maybe nothing happened. But when you go out, you just have to keep saying yes to God. It's a moment-by-moment dedication. It's not just an event that we go through. Just like being born again is not an event that we go through. It is a Lord, my life belongs to you now. It's no longer mine. I no longer have control of my life. I will yield to what you say to do. I will go where you tell me to go. I will be what you say I am. Now, we can find this out because how many Christians, if you ask them outside of this church, because I know you all know this, I hope you do, are you the righteousness of God as a Christian? Oh, most people say, no, I wouldn't ever claim that I'm the righteousness of God. But the Bible says you are. See, this is the act of dedication. If I believe the scripture, if I am a Christian, I believe the word, even if it goes opposite of what I feel. Now, there are some times I don't feel righteous, but it doesn't change the word of God. It doesn't change the prophecy over me that I don't feel that way. The Bible says I am healed. You know, I'm healed whether I feel healed or not. Why? Because it's the word of God. And as I say yes, I'm giving God an opportunity to work in me. So let your yes be yes. Say yes to the right things and say no to the wrong things. Say no to the things that you don't want to be a participant of, but learn how to say yes, because if you don't learn how to say yes to God, you will talk yourself out of healing. You will talk yourself out of your salvation. You will get to the point of where nothing ever works for me, nothing ever goes right for me, and you're saying no to God when God has said all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Are you understanding this? She dedicated Jesus. We go through rededications because we think the last one didn't take. But dedication is a way of living. Being set apart as a way of life. It's not a single act that we do. It's a lifestyle of learning how to say yes. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 1:20. because this was cool. I got this last night. This is really cool. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Because when you think that we are sanctified, we'll get to that a little bit later, but we're sanctified. I want to bring this verse up now. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. See, God has dedicated you. He has sanctified you. And so when we go to God based on the word of God, God says yes. God, am I your child? Yes. Father, am I the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ? Yes. Lord, am I healed? Yes. Lord, can I ever learn to make a right decision? Yes. See, all of God's promises are yes and amen. Amen? See, God is for us, not against us. God's not trying to find a way to disqualify you. He has already qualified you, and he's trying to get us to agree with him and say yes to the promises that he's spoken over us. Yes. See, Mary honored the prophetic word. So when the angel appeared to her, she goes, yes. When the angel said, these things are going to happen, you're going to name his name Jesus, she said yes. When she read in the law of Moses, said on the eighth day he'll be circumcised, she said yes. On the 40th day, you're going to take him to the temple. And she said, yes. Isn't that cool? She's just day by day. Now, when the angel appeared to her, she's probably not thinking about, gee, on the 40th day, what am I doing after I give birth? Wonder what I'm up to on the 40th day. Joseph, are we going to be near Jerusalem? Because I've got to plan my calendar out. No, she changed her calendar to coincide with the law of Moses. Yeah. See, this is one of the problems we don't have, one of the problems that we don't follow through on. We don't change our calendar according to God's calendar. We try to change God to fit our schedule. Yeah. And guess what God says when we do that? No. He said, it doesn't work that way. He said, but if you keep my law, it'll be yes. If you keep my rules, yes. You know, it's amazing. If we say yes to God, he says yes to us. But when we say, well, God, I can't fit you in today, God says, no. That's not how it works. So Mary's just saying yes, yes, yes. Okay, I found out. Okay, because Mary's thought to be around 14 years old when she got pregnant. And at 14, you're not thinking about, oh, the act of dedication of my firstborn. You're not thinking about things like that. You know, you're 14 years old. And here she is. But as she got pregnant, it's like, oh. And she goes up and sees her cousin, Elizabeth. She gets a prophecy out of Elizabeth. She knows this child's crucial. So her next question is, what do I do now? And Elizabeth says, well, we're preparing for circumcision. Well, what day is that going to be on? We don't know yet. It'll depend on when he's born. And then we'll decide, or then we'll know what day he needs to be circumcised on. Then we know what day to go. See, it's a process. We want it to be an event, but it's a process that we go through. Amen? So let's go back to... Well, Mary knew this child was different from any other child. This child had been given to her by God for the salvation of the sins of men. Mary dedicated Yehoshua, knowing that he did not belong to her. This was a child of destiny. He was holy to the Lord. This was confirmed even as she and Joseph entered the temple. They found Simeon waiting for them. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're going to come back to that. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, now they were just entering the temple. He hadn't been dedicated yet at this point. When they brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of their law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now we're going to stop there for a moment. But he while they were coming in, and Simeon, out of all the kids there, out of all the babies being brought in that day for dedication, he picks this one. Because the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to reveal him to you. See, a prophecy again. And he, when they came in, he took the kid right out of their arms. He said, what are you doing with my kid? You're not the priest. We're not to the dedication room yet. He goes, I'm going. And he blessed God. They knew by what he knew that this was of God. Now let's go on to verse 29. It says, because he's prophesying now, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people. He said, I've seen the salvation of the Lord, which you've prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So I've seen the light. I've seen the Savior. I've seen the Messiah. This is an awesome thing. And verse 33 says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Ooh, marvel. Now, she had already pondered the word of the Lord through the angel. She had pondered over the angelic visitation with the shepherds. She pondered over all these things, but now she's marveling. Here's another sign. Here's another sign from God that this baby is special, that this baby is unique. All this is before the dedication. It's reinforcing in her, this child is destined for great things. Now, while they're marveling, Simeon started speaking again. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Ooh, this is a little bit more serious. First, oh, there's a light, there's a glory of God here. I can see this all around. And then I like the first prophecy, but Mary had to be disturbed by this last prophecy. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. This glorious child of God, this light of the world, is going to be spoken against. There's going to be people that like darkness more than light. Can you imagine that? That people would hunker down in their darkness, in their sin, rather than coming to God who can forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. And they would still rather cling to the darkness of their own soul rather than get set free. And he goes, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. It's gonna hit you, Mary. Now, she probably didn't understand about the cross yet at this point. She didn't understand about watching the beatings. But she was there when all this took place. She was there in the courtyard. She watched him get beaten. She watched him be crucified on a cross. It pierced her own heart. Said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He said, it's got to be this way. This is not a good prophecy. This is not something you want to just hold on to. But yet here's a prophecy that even though goodness is coming in the world, even though light is coming in the world, it's going to cause a repercussion, a rebellion against God, because he's going to reveal the hearts of the people. In Luke chapter 2, continuing, there was another prophet. It says, now there was one Anna. This is still just as they're coming in the temple. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I mean, Simeon is kind of like this little kid and he's prophesying and they're hearing it. And Anna's kind of saying, hey, more people got to hear this. So she started broadcasting it all over the place. You know, she started telling anybody who was looking for the redemption of Israel, anybody who was interested in the Messiah, anybody that was interested in the good news, she began to go to and prophesy. This is he, this is he, this is he. Look, Simeon saw it, I'm seeing it, this is he. And Mary's there just, oh. It's like, what's going on here? I don't understand all these things, but this child is special, this child is unique, this child is something else. Now, both Simeon and Anna were waiting and looking for the consolation of Israel. Consolation has the same root word that Jesus used in John 14, 16 to 18, when he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper or comforter. It's the same word. The consolation of Israel is the same root word as the comforter. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you another helper, comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says, I'm going to give you another one. Now see, when he walks in the temple, Simeon sees, oh, I've been waiting for the consolation of Israel. I've been looking for the Holy Ghost. I've been looking for the anointed one. I've been looking for the one who is going to give us this unique place with God. And here he's talking about not even knowing what he's prophesying. If you do that now and then. You prophesy and you don't know what you're prophesying about. But here Simeon is prophesying. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. And Jesus says, but I'm going to send another one. Another helper, another comforter, another one to be with you, another advocate who will not leave you, who will stick closer to you than anyone else. See, when Jesus is saying this to the disciples, he's sanctifying them. He says, let your word sanctify them. Let your word mark them. Let your word set them apart. What Jesus is doing, he's dedicating the disciples. Setting them apart. Saying, you guys are unique. You guys are special. Why? Because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Well, why can't they receive? Because he says, they don't believe me. They don't know who I am. Therefore, they can't receive. Because they've already rejected God. They said no at the wrong time. They said no to the promises of God. But Jesus said, you can receive the Holy Spirit. Well, how can I receive him? Because we've been sanctified. We've been dedicated by God. And God is over us, always saying yes to the promises that he's spoken into our lives. He's always dedicating us, always lifting us up. He says, Jesus said, I'm sending you the comforter. The world can't receive him because they can't see God. They can't know the Father. And then Jesus goes on, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This comforter, this consolation of Israel that Simeon was looking for, he saw it in a baby. But Jesus said, oh, I'm going to send you one. He's not going to just walk around with you in the natural. He's not going to be a preacher man. He's not going to be in the pulpit. But he's going to be one who lives on the inside of you. And he's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've taught, everything that I've said. That's a preacher. See, the Holy Spirit preaches to you. He shows you things that you don't understand yet. He's revealing things to us. He's bringing things of God back up to us, even if you've only heard the name of Jesus and you've only heard the name Emmanuel. Oh, I love that song this morning that we sang, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. That's a prophecy. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. And he says, I'm going to send you one just like me. You're not going to see him in the natural. Oh, I can get into next year. You're not going to see him in the natural. This is called abadakashita. For in 2020, you will be forced to walk and live in my spirit, says God. For the eyes of what you will see going on in the world will lead you astray if you don't keep your eyes on me. For it is the rising and the falling of many in this earth, and many things will be revealed. But if you are watching the things of the natural, you will back out before you see my super come into the natural. Do not be deceived by the things that you see in the natural, but keep your eyes on me, says God. And I will lead you through, and you will see my working, and you will wonder at it because you don't see how I could possibly do it. But there must be the revealing of hearts so that all things will be revealed. I'm telling you, there's things going on. There's things going on. And see, Jesus is trying to tell them, so don't just watch this with your natural eyes, but in the eyes of the Spirit. You've got to see this. See, they've received the Holy Spirit because they see God. They see him in the Scripture. We told you last week that after the crucifixion, Peter said, we have a more sure word than being there with Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration because we have the word of prophecy. We have the Bible. And if we believe the Bible, you'll see God and you'll know God. And you make yourself a vessel prepared for God to pour his Holy Spirit into you and to fill you up to overflowing. Isn't that great? Oh, but it comes in that preparation time. John 14:25 says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." When the Holy Spirit teaches us, when he brings things to our remembrance, let your yes be yes. Follow through on the dedication. When you mess up, don't quit. Because I got news for you. You're going to mess up. But Jesus already knows that. If he can forgive Peter, boy, he messed up. We will die with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. We'll all die with you. You know, and then Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And yet he says, "But when you return, strengthen the brethren." This guy who denied Jesus 3 times, backed out on him. He was the one that God said, "You're going to restore your brethren. And you're going to be the one to rally them together. And you're going to be the one to hold them together after all these things happen." The same Peter was not on the Mount of Crucifixion when John was there with Mary. And Jesus said, "Mary, this is your son. And John, this is your mother." Peter wasn't there. He wasn't a part of that. But yet, Peter's the one that God chose. He's the one. Because Peter, he said no according to prophecy. But he said yes when the right time came. And Jesus came back to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." I mean, do you know how bad he had to feel? "You know I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." I mean, Peter's just bearing his heart. "God, you know I love you. You know I love you so much." He said, "Tend my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" The third time. For each of the times that he had denied Jesus, God comes back to him and says, the third time, "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I do. You know I love you." He said, "Lead my sheep." He was the rallying point. The one who wasn't there for so many things. The one who doubted, the one who questioned, the one who had all these difficulties. But when the right time came, he said, "Yes." So it's not how loud your demonstration is. It's not the scene that you make in your dedication. It's will you say yes at the right time. Will you say yes to the things of God? Will you listen to him and let him lead you? Will you read his Bible and his word and see the prophetic in it as it speaks to your life and where you are? Because God's preparing us for what's coming. He's getting us into the right position. And we're going to see a lot of things in the coming year that are going to amaze us and shock us all at the same time. Amen. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, you give revelation to your people. You give us understanding, Father, before we even know what's happening. So that when it does happen, God, we already know it. Like Mary, when she brought forth the son, it wasn't the first time she saw him. She saw him when the angel spoke, you're going to have a child. And she believed the prophetic word, and it came to pass in her life. Father, I pray that we will accept your prophetic word in the scriptures to us. We will accept what Jesus has spoken over our lives. Lord, that we will say yes to you, not just today, but every time you present yourself to us, God, help us to say the right thing. Help us to say yes to you and no to the things that cause distractions. For this, God, we give you praise. We give you honor this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.